Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of Yard. Isn't it wonderful that we can celebrate Maroon Friday as we choose? We have that level of freedom. We do. Hasn't been restricted. And so we have the opportunity, of course, to celebrate our Mississippi State fandom. I hope that you're able to do that. As you guys know, as we get into football season, it's kind of a requirement to wear maroon on Fridays. You should probably wear it anyway. But in football season, they kind of have casual Fridays and let you guys dress down a little bit for those of you that aren't working remotely. And you get to wear some, football apparel. It's always cool. Always cool to be able to do that. Let people know where you stand. I appreciate fandom from all schools. I do. I think it's a great thing. That you are true to your school, no matter who you cheer for. And this time of year, there's a lot of exuberance about college football. We've had multiple media opportunities since you and I have been together. I'm going to recap some of that for you. JeansPage.com now running a 50% off sale. Some other sites on the network running 75%. We've got some changes. Neil McCready and his crew from the Ole Miss Rival side are now part of the 247 Sports Network, which I think is a good thing for us, too, because you got the two dominant brands in the Egg Bowl rivalry on the same network. So if you subscribe to our site, you can read their content. If you subscribe to their site, you can read our content. You know, so that's a good thing. The best State and Ole Miss content producers together. Whether we are best of friends or not, we benefit from each other. And listen, I want to take some time, too. A lot of people have asked, what does that mean for Dave Johnson? Guys, Dave is my friend. Dave Johnson's a great guy. We don't always see eye to eye. I mean, I got some Bulldog fans and friends that I don't always see eye to eye with either. I mean, that's just kind of part of being the deal, right? I mean, you know, as I've said many times before, if two people agree on everything, only one person's doing the thinking. But our buddy Dave Johnson, dealing with some health problems, and I'm not going to get too personal with all that. It's not my place to do that. But if you are of the praying kind, I'd ask that you lift up a few prayers for Big Dave. And, guy that I've kind of gotten to know last, 15 years or so, I guess. But I share with you guys some things, too. When all the craziness was going on, with the Hugh Freeze situation, it's been 8 years now. And since he resigned, Dr. Evil quotes. But, kind of the beginning of all of that was like in 14. Like when I began to kind of report on some things that I was hearing, and I had a tip about the ACT situation involving Wayne County and some individuals that were accused of malfeasance with the application of that particular standardized test. That dated back to 14. And I was kind of the lone voice in the wilderness, and I had so many people that would not take the story. Some names, some of them have gone on to a certain level of notoriety. but they were derelict in their duty here in the state of Mississippi. And I don't want to judge too harshly. Maybe perhaps they had an editor that wouldn't let them pursue certain things. And of course, nobody ever admitted to that, but I'm not going to be naive and believe it didn't exist. But the reality of it is when things got crazy and a lot of people on that side of the rivalry doubted what I was saying, and we had some on our side that doubted it too. Dave Johnson called me multiple times, just out of the blue, and said, "Hey man, I want you to know I'm praying for you." Said a lot about him. And he had a kid on that team. He had a relationship with that staff. I thought it was big of Dave to say, "You know what, Steve, I see you as a human being, not as a Mississippi State guy, not as a competing writer, not as a guy on another network, but I see you as a person, and I just want to tell you I'm praying for you." And that's always stuck with me. And when we were in Nashville in 2020, Dave had gone up the weekend before with the family and kind of had a family trip that weekend in Nashville ahead of the 247 Sports convention that we had up there. And Dave was already like, going to shake his hand. He goes, "Hey, I'm kind of dealing with a head cold. You know, maybe you don't want to shake my hand." I think we fist bumped. And then within a couple days, our buddy Dave was in the hospital, you know, and had a chance to speak to him after he overcame that ordeal. Dave was obviously a very tough individual with a very strong constitution, but he was one of the first people that we all knew to be infected by the COVID situation, and he ended up on a ventilator and stuff. It was wild stuff. And gave him a little time after he got home, and I called him, and man, the guy burst into tears. And he said one of the first questions that he asked when he kind of got cognizant of things and kind of came out of the haze of all that, he asked about me and Mike Nemeth, because Mike and I sat with David perhaps the whole convention. He wanted to know if we had had the same issues, and thankfully we had not, which kind of shows you how mysterious the whole thing is. You know, Mike and Dave and I sat there and breathed the same air for basically, you know, 3 days. And I didn't even run a fever. But it goes to show you that even in Dave's darkest moments, he was thinking about other people. And, you know, I would owe it to him anyway, because I think that's the right thing to do. But, man, I love Dave Johnson as a person. And so I'd ask you, no matter who you cheer for, because the truth of the matter is that's irrelevant. You know, some people say, well, you know, some things are bigger than the rivalry. Most things are bigger than the rivalry, especially matters such as this. And so Dave's got some, you know, some things ahead of him. And, yeah, it's something that weighs on me from time to time, because Dave and I are the same age. And, man, he has had a very difficult last 5 years. Very difficult. And I want him to get better. I do. I want him to get better. No matter if he writes anything ever again, you know, you begin to see people. Number one, we'd miss him as a peer, but also, too, as a person. And so just want to put that out there before we get going. And you guys, I'm going to tell you, you guys are so awesome. I talked on the show about a little music project we're working on, and that's really taken off here in the last 24 hours. And I went public with some things yesterday on Facebook. Had a chance to go meet with Eric Luttrell, if you guys know Eric. Eric used to front band called Brouhaha, based out of Jackson. And Eric's on board with the project and kind of coordinating the musical side of stuff. And we'll get in a room pretty soon, kind of begin to rehearse a few things out. But we are going to do this song, and we're going to video the production, and we're going to put it out on socials to promote the 988 number. And I've had so many people that have reached out to me offering their services. We could probably, you know, Eric's working through all that, you know, but he's talking to some people. We got a drummer lined up. We got myself, got Eric, and, you know, we'll add a couple other pieces. But the truth of the matter is we're trying to do something great. We're trying to do something that is meaningful and that has purpose. This is not a for-profit project or a vanity project. This is just something that I feel led to do. And it's also been cool, too, to have a chance to kind of connect with some people that in the old Mississippi rock scene, and had a lot of people that have reached out and said, "Hey, man, I may want to be a part of this," and it's happening very, very quickly. I have had multiple people in state government that have reached out to pledge their support and said, "Whatever you need from us, let us know." And I think again that just speaks well of the people within our state. But there are a lot of people out there that are hurting that don't know that you can call 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Prevention Hotline. And even yesterday on my Facebook post, I'm talking about that. And I got people say, oh, I never knew that number existed. That's exactly the reason we're doing it. Exactly the reason. Everybody knows 911, right, when you need to call for help. But you don't know that 988 is a number you call for a different kind of help. And so we want to do our part to promote that service. And again, you know, we're putting the choir together of people that have been directly impacted by suicide. And that's basically everybody, right? We've all lost somebody we love. And I want them represented. And so it's important to me. And it's been something I've been kicking around for a while. And yeah, so here we are. So we'll get some dates and some locations for you. As for those of you that want to participate, need to reach out to me on socials, and you know, I'll make some other announcements and kind of say, hey, here's how it's going to go. And doesn't matter if you've got a great vocal delivery or not. It's a choir after all. But the song kind of builds and builds and builds, right? And then we want to add the choir to it to kind of give it a little power. And we are looking for a venue, and I've had some people that have already kind of offered, but I got to figure out what's best for everybody. Really just need a place that we can go and shoot this thing. And, you know, some people have already offered, and you know, the travel is a little bit complicated. You know, I'm willing to travel anywhere, but not everybody else is quite as free as me, I guess. But if you're interested in that aspect of it, reach out, let me know. Again, it's all very early in this process, very much in the planning stages. But we want to do something worthwhile to let people that are hurting to know that they're not alone. That's simple. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. I love going in there, putting my feet under their table, and letting them take care of everything else. A lot of places that I go, and sometimes I don't get the same level of service, which makes me appreciate Bulldog Burger that much more because I'm so well cared for there, right? Get the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. I've been kind of on a bacon and cheeseburger type thing as of late. I've gotten the Bulldog, add bacon. I've got Pimentology, add bacon. Of course, you can get the Lauren or the Bryant. You can kind of get it the way you want it, right? And maybe you're not feeling a burger. Maybe everybody else is. You can go get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. You do what you want to do with your life and get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Let's back up a bit. We had a chance yesterday to hear from Coach Jeff Lebby. I did not make the media op. You know, it was Coach Lebby, and I hated to miss it, but needed to get down to Pearl and break bread with Eric and kind of flesh some things out. You know, my schedule's a little more flexible than most, but, you know, the crew, Dave Murray and Mike Nemeth and all kinds of care things for us. But, yeah, going back and kind of reviewing Lebby's comments, you know, you don't expect to hear a whole lot, you know what I mean? Probably the one big notable thing out of the gate was Kyle McClendon. Now, I want to give you guys some context here, okay? We kind of sat on this news for a while because we needed to get it confirmed with Coach Lebby. We had found out through sources that Kyle McClendon, the true sophomore defensive tackle, tore his ACL late in the spring. And if you remember, we thought we were kind of closing in on a few positions in the final days of the football portal recruiting phase, and all of a sudden Colin Coates pops up with an offer. Well, that was basically why, right, is McClendon tears the ACL. We got to find a replacement. And we do with Colin Coates out of Charlotte and probably a 10 to 15 snap guy. You know, we'll see how things progress, but you need the body. So the best thing that we can do right now as it relates to Kyle McClendon is basically to expect him not to play this year. Probably the best thing for him is to get the red shirt year back, get healthy, and get completely rehabilitated and be ready to go in the spring. That's probably the best case scenario. Levy just said he's going to be out a while. And how this kind of came up yesterday is he was in the pit, as they say. You know, guys that are not cleared for full participation. The pit is kind of for guys that have some rehabilitation and some treatment to do. He was in, so of course, people see that, they begin to ask the questions. And so we've been sitting on the news. We've had the story ready for a while. But, you know, steps were taken back in the spring, right? So we don't have a hole there at defensive tackle, right? We still got enough bodies to kind of move the thing forward. And so that's probably the most notable news from the Jeff Levy press conference. But, yeah, I mean, you know, anybody expecting Kai to come back and play this year is probably expecting a little bit too much. And I think I'd hate to see him waste a year of eligibility on an abbreviated season, right? I think you all would agree with that. And so, you know, Levy was asked a little bit about, you know, kind of retention from the spring. And that's big, right? And year two is a lot different than year one because it was brand new for everybody last year. It was brand new for Shapen. It's brand new for the receivers. Everybody's getting to know each other, getting to know a new scheme, a new way of doing things, some new philosophical stuff, new terminology. And even though you've had a lot of turnover on the roster, you've got a nucleus of players to return to kind of help in that respect. You've got some guys, especially on offense, that have been around. You know, Devon Booth, obviously, Blake Shapen, multiple starters on the offensive line, Sadu Traore, your tight end, J-Mo and some other guys on the wide receiver side. So you've got a lot of people back on offense that spent all last year and then the spring this year. So they can help the staff with the newcomers. And here's what Jeff had to say about that. I thought the guys that practiced with us in the spring that had good springs, it showed up. They spent time in the summer and were so much farther ahead than we have been day one. So excited about that. We got a ton of work to do. I think our leadership is in a much better place, and that helps as much as anything. End quote. Absolutely correct there. And as I have mentioned before on the show, we had some guys last year that we were depending on to make plays that weren't exactly the best teammates. All year long this year, starting with the spring, you guys reporting for the spring, and then we get into spring practice. The folks that we know that have been staffers at Mississippi State for a while have said, hey, it's like a new air in the building. Like, there were some times last year you had some guys that just, you know, again, weren't exactly bought in from the beginning. You know, it wasn't like, well, we start losing games, Steve. No, even from the beginning. We had some guys that, you know, that happens, right? You make some mistakes because you have such a short time to recruit when you're a new coach. You know, Jeff Levy and those guys got hired and then kind of went right to.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Work, and the next thing you know, a few weeks later, you're putting a team on the field and practicing, and you got some guys that you don't know that well. You know, things happen quickly in that winter portal, and that was part of it. And we got some guys in that may not have been the best fit for Mississippi State and fit for our culture. So a lot of discussions about how there's just a new air in the building in year two. And, of course, everybody understands, you know, what's at stake. But having a core group of guys that have been in the system makes things a whole lot easier. We talked about the offensive line group. They looked the part, right? We know this. They certainly looked the part. In the spring, outside of Luke Work and Jimothy Lewis and Albert Reese, we didn't look the part. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd look out there, and it looked like we'd have the twos out there, and it looked like a junior college offensive line, all due respect to the Mississippi Junior College. We had a lot of undersized guys. And in this league, you know, mass kicks, you know what, right? Well, we went out and added some mass, and so Lev talked about that too. Quote, body type-wise, we're where we want to be. But again, a ton of work to do. These guys understand how we practice, how we do things, the physicality that we have to play with to give us an opportunity to win. Those are real things, and they haven't been with us. Excited about that group and the potential, but we have to come together in a hurry and make sure we're dialed in on the best 5, 6, or 7 that can play winning football for us, end quote. That's probably the biggest challenge for this offense this preseason camp. You know, the guys have been here throughout the summer, and so they've had a chance to, you know, attend meetings, kind of learn things philosophically, but until they get on the field, until they get on the practice field and have to actually do it, it's a different deal. The pads hadn't been on yet, right? And that's the risk, right? We had so many guys, and I want to back up a little bit too, and this is not a criticism of Cody Kennedy, who was great to me the entire time he was at Mississippi State. I wish him and his wife the best. But Cody kind of recruited in his own image. Cody was a little bit undersized himself. And we talk about, you know, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. And that sounds cute, but when you're playing offensive line, that's just not true. You can't go out there and line up a group of chihuahuas against a bunch of German shepherds and expect to have a good result. I don't care how ferocious those chihuahuas are, right? It's not magic, it's math, right? You may have a big bark, but if you don't have a big body, you're going to get steamrolled in the Southeastern Conference. And so, of course, as mentioned on Wednesday's show, you know, Lord Holt comes in, kind of revamps things. So those guys didn't get the benefit of spring practice. So they get the summer, and then, of course, you know, Matthew LaFoe, a JUCO guy from Shasta College, transfers in, and a second session guy. You know, so he didn't even get the benefit of June. So there is a real challenge, and I think that's one of the things that maybe gives you some encouragement when you think about, you know, Luke Work now has been here going in his fourth semester. Albert Reese been here 3 years. Jimothy Lewis been here now, what, 3 semesters. You know, so those guys that you're expecting to do some big things, and Cannon Boone, another one, right? It's been here multiple years. So you feel like you've got some leadership there. They can kind of answer those questions because a lot of guys, too, let's be honest about it, a lot of guys are scared to have that dialogue with their coach unless the coach himself begins the conversation. So when you're just kind of sitting around with your buddies, you're a little more likely to say, hey, because you don't care about looking silly in front of your friends, but you do care about looking silly in front of your coach and say, hey, when we're running this, what do we want to do here? And so having guys like Albert Reese and Luke Work and Cannon Boone, Jacoby Jackson, that matters. It matters having those guys. And so it's a scenario where we returned some pieces and we brought in some pieces to kind of build out a 2-deep. I don't think we're going to have any trouble at all finding 8 or 9 that can play in the Southeastern Conference and do a good job for us. I am very confident in that respect, right? It's interesting, you know, we talk about guys getting acclimated. Right. And Tyshawn Willis, of course, a guy that we think a ton of. I think he is going to be a freak in this scheme. and maybe not so much this year, but he is a pass rusher, a relentless pass rusher. But as I was told, you know, Coach Dancy had to get after him a little bit yesterday and said, hey, buckle up. You're not in high school anymore. Get in your stance the right way. You know, and that's the shock of practice. It's one thing to go through all of these walkthroughs, right, in T-shirt and shorts, and now all of a sudden you're working directly under the supervision of your coach when you've got about 4 weeks to go before you play a real game. A game in many respects that determines the quality of life for a lot of people. And so it's time to kind of dial it up a little bit. But again, I actually feel optimistic about the offensive line. Phil Lauthold, obviously a guy that played at the highest level for a long time, a junior college prospect too. A guy that worked his way through JUCO. So when, you know, he goes and talks to these guys, it's not like Phil Lauthold like landed at Notre Dame right out of high school, you know, and practiced Power Five football and then went to the NFL. This is a guy that went to JUCO for 2 years and then worked his way up and then ultimately onto the National Football League. And so he has credibility in the room when he speaks. And kind of helps too, like Zach Stewart got transferred in from Colorado, has had a year under Lauthold too. And so that's an important aspect of this too. But, you know, guys like Blake Steen are veteran ball players. And it's not like the offensive line that they got to go run routes, right? Offensive line play is offensive line play. Some people have different splits. Some people do different motions and things of that nature. Everybody handles a counter a little bit different. But there's not a lot of new things under the sun when it comes to offensive line play. And so I'm confident that we're going to be in good shape in that respect. The receiver group, you know, Bump mentioned earlier this week that of all the years that he's coached football, that this is one of his favorite groups. And Levy was asked about that. And again, I'll say it, I've said it a million times, I'm not going to worry about getting receivers as long as Levy and Bump are here, and nor should you. Lev says, just knowing what it's supposed to look like. We have guys in that room who can play. The thing that I love about that room is it's an unselfish room. It's connected, and there's depth to it, and a lot of different body types. When they're competing and fighting together, you have a chance to be really good. We got to go do it, but I like that group. End of quote. And I do too. And I think, you know, again, to hear that from Leb and to hear that from Bump gives me a lot of optimism about this offense. You know, we thought we had a good receiver crew last year, and we did. We had some guys that kind of stepped up and did some things. But again, I think a lot of that is finding a way to use guys. And the same architects of that are back in Jeff Lebig and Chad Bumpus. And I think there is more depth in the wide receiver room this year. I think that's an important aspect of it. You got more pieces to play with. People forget, you know, we had Creed Whittemore and Trent Hudson both elected a redshirt last year and entered a transfer portal. And, you know, so you lose a couple of dudes, you know, pretty early into your season. And, of course, Kelly Akari, you know, was banged up early in the year. You know, and so there's all these things that could happen. But we still were very productive in the throw game, as Levy likes to say. And so when you think about a veteran offensive line and bringing some veteran pieces in to fill out the two deep, and you've added some competition and some size to your tight ends room, and then you go out and add some receivers, of course, that we think can do big things. And, you know, we've got some guys in here from big-time programs. You know, we got some guys, went out and signed some guys from Georgia, Oklahoma, and then you got some guys from Northern Illinois and guys that are kind of working their way up. And, you know, all of that is important too. You know, you got to look under every nook and cranny. Right? No stone can be unturned when you're looking for players. And so we've got a pretty good cross-section of players that have had some production, but some guys that also have seen it at the highest level. They understand the commitment that it takes. And so I like what Levy's had to say, but let's be honest about it, okay? What's said in the press conference, not going to mean a whole lot when it comes to the season. But I do give Jeff Levy a lot of credit that I don't think Jeff is a guy that's going to BS as much. Again, I remember, again, that very first spring, and I had observed running backs that day, and I was not impressed with our running back room. And I didn't say as much, but I asked as much. I said, Coach, how do you feel about the running back room? And without any prompting, he's just like, you know what, we got to get better. That room has got to be significantly better. Well, it is now, you know. But so when Leb says that he's got confidence in that wide receiver group and chance to be really good and how much he likes that group, it's reassuring to me, because when he has had personnel groups that have not met his expectations, he has been willing to share that with us. But at the end of the day, the press conferences that matter most are post-game press conferences, post-games. You know, even though we hadn't had a chance to watch a tape yet, those are the ones that matter most to me. You know, what happened, what went wrong, what went right, what did you think about this guy's performance, where do you need to, you know, be better the next week. This time of year, you know, we're just kind of getting a progress report, and I'm not saying those things aren't important, but they're not as important as what we learned in season. I think really the main thing now is just kind of finding who's emerging, right? And then the health of some guys when we can find that out. But, again, as far as first, you know, press conferences go and that sort of stuff, I thought Leb was good, you know. As good as you can expect, you know. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the defensive front. And, of course, we made a huge financial and scholarship role commitment to basically revamping that defensive line. Leb was asked about that, too. Quote, we're in a lot better place than we were. Our bodies today compared to where it's been allowed us to have the ability to go too deep the entire practice. That's completely different. That's going to help us practice the way we need to practice so we can develop and get the depth we need, end quote. And what's interesting about that, too, is that last year he mentioned – you know, on the scout team, they just had to go get guys from other positions to play defensive line. Well, there's two things about that that are important, that negatively impact your team. The first off, you're just throwing reps away. You got guys from other positions that are never going to play defensive line that are getting those reps because you didn't have enough depth. You didn't have enough young guys to kind of put out there. You want to be able to invest those scout team reps in guys that are just trying to sharpen a saw a little bit. The flip side of it is you're not really giving your offense a true scout. You're not giving them the opportunity to compete against SEC bodies. You're not giving your offensive line the opportunity to compete against SEC edge rusher speed and things of that nature. And so that's why it's important to really have good roster management. Because it's not just about the two deep. It's about the scout team too. Because that scout team, those are the guys of your Bulldogs of the future. And you need to be able to invest some time and reps in them and kind of get them prepared for that football future. And last year, we just weren't able to do that. You know, we just had to kind of piecemeal this thing together. And essentially, we threw away those reps because we didn't have people to invest in. Now we do. Of course, a lot of veterans on this group, but it's going to be interesting now. I mean, just to see, to give your offense a true scout against SEC-sized players, even if they're not the most talented at this point in their careers, but just to have some guys out there, because so much changes, right? I mean, you see it in high school all the time, right? You got these big offensive linemen that kind of have to play down. I mean, like, you think about hand placement, right? When you get ready to extend your hands and make that jab and things of that nature, when you practice all day, every day against somebody that is not of SEC size or quality, your target's going to be off when you do, right? Because all your reps are going to be taken against a smaller, softer target. And then you get into the end of the game and you have to adjust to the speed and size of the game. That's why it's so important to be able to get a good scout. And so that's one of those things that maybe the casual fan doesn't fully understand. We don't do a lot of ones versus twos and ones best versus, but we don't do a lot of that. We do some of it, but by and large, once we get in season, your first team defense, first team offense, working against scout team. And again, we have got to have value up and down the roster, not just in our starting 22. All right, let's jump ahead to our close with Blair player of the day. We're going to go with Isaac Smith. Isaac Smith, obviously a young man that has been involved in some pretty big stuff for State, even though the on-the-field success team-wise maybe has not been what we would want it to be. But the guy led the SEC in tackles last year. Yeah, pretty impressive season for him. And very patient, too. Like, he got a lot of questions today that were asked of him at media days. Same thing. right? But the reality of it is he handles it all with such grace, right? He never acts like, well, I've already talked about that. He's just so professional in everything that he does, so down to earth. After a media session today, he went and shook everybody in the media's hand. Pretty impressive. Close the Blair is our sponsor for the player of the day. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair is a mortgage professional. 24 years of experience in the industry. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Yeah, he knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance to get approval through underwriting. And, you know, here's the thing. Maybe you're a subprime, non-conforming type borrower. Blair is a guy that knows how to work with you to kind of improve your situation there. And, you know, maybe you didn't have a bad situation. Maybe you had a bad loan officer, right? So let me encourage you to give Blair a chance to help you make the dream of home ownership come true. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps a game day condo, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. Your Mississippi State guitar shop, owned and operated by Bulldog fans, alums. Showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. If you're in that neck of the woods, stop by and see them. They'll be happy to work with you. If you can't make it down there, which I understand, right, they're there to serve you anyway, either over the phone, online, in person. We got a promo code for you too, promo code BSR. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. That gets you free shipping. Also gets a 5% donation of your purchase price contributed to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. So whether you're looking for a new guitar, and maybe you should be, or you're looking to get into the game, or perhaps upgrade your gear, or maybe you want to buy a guitar for the loved one in your life that loves playing, turn to Kalido Guitars. Name brand products, expertise, quality service before, during, and after the sale. We've all experienced this. You buy something online, you get it home, it's not exactly as it should be or as you want it to be, and it's a hassle, right? You can't get anybody on the phone. You feel like you're going to get stuck with something less than what you wanted. You're disappointed. That's not the case with Kalido Guitars. It's not the case at all. And speaking of cases, you need a guitar case too. Protect your instrument. Get a guitar stand. You need a gig bag, they get that for you too. Any of your accessories you need that maybe you're buying from some conglomerate out there, let's keep it in the family and support a Mississippi State business. KalidoGuitars.com. Be sure and check them out for all your guitar needs. Okay, we're going to wrap up our Ozzy Osbourne series, which makes me a little bit sad. You know, we can revisit it down the stretch. But I mentioned to you guys on Wednesday's show, Ozzy did a covers album. It had 13 tracks on it. There's a couple things in the box set. And it's all very interesting, right, that somebody of such stature would, do a covers album, considering how many people have covered his music. And we've done that before, too. People that have covered Ozzy Osbourne's tunes. But 13 tracks. Not all 13 can make our list. But there's a kind of a story behind so many of these. You know, Ozzy says that he got into the music industry because of the Beatles. And he met Paul McCartney at the Howard Stern show. You know, just have kind of worked out that way. He'd never met Paul McCartney before. John Lennon, obviously his hero. He wore John Lennon-style sunglasses throughout his life. And if you saw the photos the other day from the tribute over in Birmingham, Kelly Osbourne wearing her dad's John Lennon shades. So we're going to go with our number 10 track, a song actually written and performed by John Lennon. Ozzy had 3 Beatles songs, or songs written by Beatles, on this covers album. And we all kind of go back to what we know, right? But it's a Woman from John Lennon, number 10. Now, number 9 is an interesting song. If you know much about the history of heavy metal, A lot of people don't know a lot about Arthur Brown, right? But Arthur Brown was one of these very theatrical performers of, interesting type music. He is the one, in many respects, has kind of been ushered in as like the most, theatrical of the early pioneers of the genre. This goes back to 1968, the original release of the song Fire by Arthur Brown, nicknamed the God of Hellfire, right? It's so crazy. But that was written in 68. And if you can find the video online, and I suspect you can, he's very, very eccentric. His movements, everything he does is very different. Well, Ozzy covered that song. It's your number 9 song. And I think Ozzy's version is actually better. But if you go back and check that out, you can see that the seeds of heavy metal were planted even before, the 70s. Even as the Haight-Ashbury music was, prevalent around the country, the hipster movement and all that good stuff. You had Arthur Brown in England singing about fire. Number 8, we're going to go with Go Now. Now, this is an old standard. It's in a very interesting, cover. So I suspect that Ozzy learned of this because the band The Moody Blues covered this in 64. So Bessie Banks was from North Carolina, put the song out there, had moderate success in the United States, and The Moody Blues somehow along the way picked up on it. They covered the song. And kind of made it kind of a rock version. But the original was Bessie Banks, and Ozzy covers it on the Undercover album. And it's interesting. It's that you can take kind of a spiritual R&B type track and then kind of Ozzy-fy it. That's kind of what happens there. Number 7 is going to be Good Times from the Animals. A lot of you know the Animals. Many of you don't. You young bucks don't know the Animals. But again, they were a true rock band in England back in the early 60s. We were doing the kind of the psychedelic sound. They were a little more straight ahead, balanced rock and roll type thing, a little more rhythm and blues compared to kind of what was happening in America. But the Animals, great track, Good Times. I think you'll enjoy that one, also covered by Ozzy. And a lot of people have kind of covered Animal songs over the years. But again, maybe you don't know them as well as you should. Number 6, it's 21st Century Schizoid Man from King Crimson. Now, King Crimson, another one of these bands formed in England that had a lot of things with them as they kind of began to emerge and eventually kind of make their way to the United States. They're actually still playing. At least some form of them is still playing at this point. But it's interesting how all this kind of comes to be. Greg Lake, of course, who was in Emerson, Lake and Palmer, was at once a part of King Crimson. And there's a lot of influential type music that kind of originated from them. They did a little. They weren't necessarily prog rock, but there was a lot to them, kind of the forerunners of the progressive rock music. But it's so interesting to kind of look back at the pathology of modern rock music and see a lot of this again came from England. I think that's probably a fair thing to say, even though some people probably would, America created rock and roll. However, a lot of this comes from or is rooted in England. Nobody could play the guitar the way we could, but it's kind of part of how things work. But again, I think that's a song that maybe you're not quite as familiar with, but you probably should be. Crimson King an interesting band. And it's one of those things, too, you know, everybody wants to remaster stuff. I often wonder, you know, how good the original recordings were. And if we had them digital, you know, we used to have analog tape back then. If it was digital tape, how much better those remasters would be? There's only so much you can do with analog type recordings. But they get the thumbs up from Ozzy. Number five, a song that everybody knows, you just don't remember who performed it first. Well, Buffalo Springfield did, if I can get it out there. Buffalo Springfield, of course, Stephen Stills, a big part of that. It's a great track for what it's worth. A Canadian-American band. Neil Young was also part of that band. And we talked about Lake. Well, also Bruce Palmer was part of that. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. There's a lot to that. A lot of inbreeding in American rock and roll, shall we say. But for what it's worth, great track. Now, the rest of these, again, whether you are a big fan of music or not, you know these songs. Number four, one of the great trios of all time is Cream, Sunshine of Your Love. Of course, Eric Clapton was a part of Cream at the time. And the riffing on this song is what kind of set it apart. You know, Cream, probably a band that many of you love bands that were influenced by them. But perhaps you haven't gone back and listened to Cream, and you should. All right, number three, a band that really didn't catch in the United States as much as they should have. It's Mott the Hoople. We've talked about them on the show before. Their legendary track, All the Young Dudes, written by David Bowie. And Ozzy covered that. That's going to be your number three track. And Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden also covered that track. Number two, a lot of British influence in Ozzy's covers, but a couple more here that maybe not so much. Number two for us is Rocky Mountain Way, the Joe Walsh classic. I still contend to you Godsmack's version is the best cover version. Ozzy's version right up there with it. Not quite as good as the Godsmack version, but one of the better tracks on this Undercover album, and one that I think you'd really enjoy. But number one, anytime we talk about the great Leslie West on the show, we want to. The great rock band Mountain, with a song that means a lot to us here, Mississippi Queen. Ozzy's great cover of that track. Now, as I mentioned to you guys earlier this week, you know, some of the musicians that have been a part of this covers album, Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains was your guitar player on this album, which I think is rather interesting because it kind of flies in the face of the narrative that so many had. You know, like a lot of people thought like Kurt Cobain spoke for everybody out of Seattle. Just not correct. Not. Because you got Jerry Cantrell, who I think is the definitive guitar player of the grunge movement. Now, I love Mike McCready too, but I think Jerry has the tuning, the tone, the sound that really kind of typifies grunge music when I think of it. The bass player on this project was Chris Wise, who also performed with The Cult, Ace Frehley, Hollywood Vampires. That's an interesting project we'll get into someday. Mike Borden, of course, the drummer from Faith No More, was a drummer on this project, which is super cool. So, I mean, you kind of an all-star-studded lineup there. Also, Leslie West actually was a guest musician and played the solo on Mississippi Queen. Ian Hunter, of course. You guys know Ian Hunter, or you don't if you should. The original singer-songwriter from Mott the Hoople also collaborated on the song All the Young Dudes. Robert Randolph. We had a song from Robert Randolph we used to play at Davis Wade Stadium during the Croom years. I cannot remember the name of the song, though. When I saw this, I was like, this makes perfect sense to me, but I can't remember the song. But Robert Randolph played the pedal steel on the Sympathy for the Devil, which is another track we didn't put. I didn't like it as much, which is, it's ironic, you know. There's a bonus track, of course, of Kelly Osbourne singing along with Ozzy on Changes. You know, you cover your own stuff. I can't count that. And then Paul Santo, the guitar player that he has collaborated with so many different people. Dave Gilmour of Pink Floyd, and Kid Rock, Eric Clapton, Aerosmith. He's done a lot of stuff. He lays down the solo on Sunshine of Your Love. But Greg Bissonette was a guy that played some drums, was also part of David Lee Roth's band for so many years. Joe Bonamassa was part of this project. A lot of people. And so, again, when Ozzy Osbourne calls and says, hey, I'd like for you to do this, you jump right on it. So I hope that you have enjoyed our Ozzy Osbourne top tens. And I know Roy has. And anytime that we can connect over music, I think it's a great thing. But Ozzy said he did not want his funeral to be a mope fest. He wanted us to celebrate his life. I believe we have done that, celebrated his music here. And so we end our Ozzy series with this covers. But, of course, we could jump behind some other stuff that's down the road. But the reality of this thing is that we have to move forward. And Ozzy's been laid to rest. It is mansioned there in England. And I think that's probably the best. You don't have like a Jim Morrison type situation where people go and kind of vandalize the rest of the cemetery, gets on private property, on the property that he purchased and built and the land that he loved. And, everybody that loves Ozzy, we've had a chance to kind of come to grips with this. And again, I think watching the Back to the Beginning concert really allowed us to kind of prepare for this moment because we knew it was coming. We hadn't seen him in a while, but we knew after seeing him at that show, we were happy that he was there. But, it's been a month now, for us. So, you know what? We're going to have to say goodbye to Ozzy soon, and his legacy lives forever. And I love the fact that so many people have come out, huge rock stars have come out and said, how influential Ozzy was. And as we mentioned on Wednesday's show, it's just, Ozzy never really changed, right? A lot of other people kind of chase trends and things like that. Ozzy was always true to his own musical vision. And I have loved going back and listening to those demos of the early Black Sabbath album when he's just trying to riff through it. Like he's just like, they didn't have lyrics written. He's just trying to find the melody to kind of match up with the track that Tony Iommi and the guys were laying down. And you see the genius of Ozzy Osbourne. So many people thought that he was just the guy that was kind of like being pushed out there as a cash cow for everybody else. But no, this guy was a phenomenal musician. And so we say goodbye to Ozzy. We say goodbye to our top tens. If you have ideas for the top tens, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X, DAWGMATIC67. That's dogmatic. He is much, much, much older than me because that 67 is for 1967. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. And appreciate so many of you people reaching out too. We've kind of worked our way through this together. You're kind of sharing the loss, and it's so interesting too. There's so many interviews out there that are making the rounds from the 80s and early 90s, and when Ozzy talks about how he was a character in a play, and a lot of people confuse the art with the person, and I think in some ways it shows what a good artist that he was, and so many people feel like, well, that's really who he is, rather than the fact that he was a dad and a husband, just like so many of us. He just had a much, much cooler job. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we want. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise on the planet. They know what true maroon looks like. Last thing you want is go order some online merchandise somewhere else, and next thing you know, you got a crimson Mississippi State shirt. That ain't going to work. Everybody's going to pick on you, including me. Yeah, stick with the winners. Stick with Campus Bookmart. Visit them next time you're in Starkville or visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. All orders over $75, no shipping. Yeah. That's always a good thing. Use that promo code to save shipping on those bigger orders. And truth of the matter is, if you're looking for something for the whole family, you're going to need that promo code. So what are you looking for? New apparel, which is always important this time of year. new football season rolling in. You need some new gear. Don't trot out those old t-shirts, those old polos. You may have some favorites, but it's time for some new ones. Be sure and order at campusbookmart.net, courtesy of Al Gore's internet. All right, media opportunity today. We had six players, and certainly appreciate Mississippi State making so many players available to us. It's always nice. We had, let me think for a second. So on Tuesday, we had a dozen interviews. Now, it's the last time we'll get to talk to the coaches, the assistants, and we had Jeff Lebby yesterday and then six today. So that's 19 interviews the first week of camp. There are a lot of people around the country who don't have that level of access. And I was kind of surprised that we got six players today. Again, very appreciative of the Mississippi State Communications family and football office making those players available. Yeah, we're trying to build a little momentum here. Isaac Smith was our first player. As I mentioned, he is a guy that routinely gets to come to the podium because he is one of the leaders, one of the guys you want to hear about, and has spent some time, and he talked about it at Media Days, that we'll play some outside backer, we'll play some over the top at safety, but we expect him to play in the box a lot, and we need him to be. You know, that's the kind of the reality of it. You want your best player where he can put himself in the best position to be productive. Asked him a little bit about those guys in the secondary, you know, especially with him expected to play more in the box. He's pretty much a box safety, but he can move around some. He talked about Jerron Manning. Smith says, Jerron did a lot at his old school. He knows the game of football really well. Brylo, that's Brylo Lanier, played here last year. We got Hunter Washington back. Just having those guys in the back end takes a lot of stress off me and the other linebackers and the D-line, just because we know we've got some players back there that know the game of football that have been around a while, end of quote. And that's one of the things that I think is kind of understated at times is the experience of that Bulldog secondary. And they did have some flashes last year, but the reality of it is they had to cover probably longer than anybody in the country because we couldn't generate any pass rush. And so what you're going to see, what I anticipate, is you're going to see improved play in the secondary. And, yes, there's always players that improve from time to time. And you bring in a guy like Jerron Manning, that he should be a difference maker in some respects. But a big part of the improvement of the secondary is not necessarily going to be about the advancement of those players or even the quality of the coaching they're receiving. All that matters. I think the biggest jump you're going to see in their production is going to be because of the fact that your defensive front is going to be so much more formidable than it was last year. It all works hand in hand, especially on defense. When you can't generate pass rush, quarterbacks have way too much time to survey the field. You can't cover forever. Wide receivers know where they're going. You don't, even if you've got great route recognition. At times, they end up having to work back to the quarterback. And so you got to sit there and defend. And eventually things break down. So the byproduct of the commitment that we have made financially, resource-wise, on the defensive front should show up in the secondary as well. I don't think there's any question about that. Of course, you can read all these interviews over at jeanspage.com for free. You can watch the videos for free. We want to be your one-stop shop. Come out and check us out. We produce a lot of other content for free, too. But there are some things, obviously, on recruiting and some feature pieces we put behind the paywall. Now's a good time to take advantage of that 50% off deal. Seydou Traore is back. 3 years. Yeah, 3 years now, because remember he transferred and sat out the year back before, because it was a second-time transfer back before the rules changed. And so he had to sit out a year, which may prove to be a good thing, kind of a blessing in disguise for Mississippi State to have a veteran guy back and 2 years in the offense. And that's one of the things we asked him about. You know, it's like, you know, you've been around for a while. We talked about having that good nucleus of players on offense that they're not guessing. They know what's expected of them. Seydou says, I feel much more confident in the offense. Second year in this playbook, and I feel like More you know the plays, the faster you play. I'm not saying I was hesitant last year, but this year I feel like I'll be able to really unleash. An interesting quote there. And, of course, a lot of the newcomers, too. And Sadu says, I think they're great. They're great guys. I really like the way they play. All three of them will be good additions to the room. And he's talking about Joseph Skipworth, who's a high school guy that we flipped last year from Kansas. And then Max Reese, of course, transfer that came in from Northern Illinois, and Sam West in from Oklahoma. But the reality of it is we have, again, committed some resources to that room. I think there'll be a lot more competition in the room. And earlier in the week, Justin Ball was a guy that was kind of pointed out as a guy that maybe didn't get talked about a lot. But that should be a strength for us. And Jeff Lebby likes to be able to use the tight end. No ifs, ands, or buts about that, you know. You can create matchups with athletic tight ends. Blake Shapen, of course, we're probably going to hear from him just about every week. You know, and then, you know, he's kind of the face of the program in many respects. But he was a guy who was, again, kind of handpicked. You know, he was asked about the offensive line. Probably the guy that benefits the most from that. Shapen said things have been good. Obviously, right now, it's so hot outside. It's just getting those guys going, but it's been good. We've added some new guys. Brennan Smith at center, he's been awesome. Zach Owens, guys like that. And then Blake Steen, we discussed him. Bringing those guys in has been good. They're working their tails off right now, but trying to get those guys going every single day, end of quote. You know, and that's kind of part of the deal. You know, we talk about developing some cohesion as a group and kind of dealing with the elements. There is some adversity they're all kind of dealing with. I asked him specifically about the wide receivers because, you know, Bump made the comment the other day about how much he likes the wide receiver room. Well, again, the guy that benefits the most from that's Blake Shapen. Here's what Blake had to say. This is definitely the most talented room that I've been a part of, and I can honestly say that. Last year we were really talented, but it's pretty crazy to think you can grow from last year and have an even better room, and I think we do. Me and Coach Bump were talking about it the other day, talking about just how good it is to be around those guys, like just personality of them. But they're also very talented. We retained a few of them, like Jordan Mosley, Ricky Johnson, Frisco McGee, and guys like that. Then you've got Anthony Evans, Brennan Thompson. We just have depth, and especially in this league, you want to be able to plug in guys whenever you need them, end of quote. And so, you know, if the wide receiver coach is excited about the wide receiver room and the quarterback is excited about the wide receiver room, I think it's okay for us to be excited. Davin Booth also met with us today. I like Vaughn Booth. And it's so, again, it's so interesting how we ended up getting him back. I remember Jeff Lebby saying towards the end of last year, man, I wish we had one more year with him. Well, that wish was granted by the district judge, Ferry. And so in the, you know, Pavia case, of course, they have the waiver, the one-time waiver. So we won't look a gift horse in the mouth. We're just grateful to have him back, right? It's pretty impressive. And, of course, we've talked about Booth, middle of the season, kind of did some interesting things. But I asked him about the depth at running back. I mean, he and Johnny Daniels kind of carried the load last year. And he says, hey, it's hard to know who's even going to get reps. Everybody can go anywhere and be a number one guy, so I feel like Coach Tuck's going to be in trouble because I don't know how he's going to plan it all out. But I love the guys in our room, like Fluff. He brings energy. Sometimes he's even too loud. I have to tell him to be quiet, but all of us can carry on from what he does. And the thing about this running back room, you know, you begin to kind of, we talk about how it worked on the defensive side of the football. The main thing with Mississippi State is we're going to have to play complementary football. We can't allow teams to get separation offensively and it make us a little more predictable on the offensive side of things. But I think you're going to see us run the football more and likely with more effectiveness this year because of the depth, but also, too, the improvement in the offensive line. You know, when you can push the pile, you can create some holes and some running angles for some guys. We have better backs. It appears we have better linemen. But they got to spend this month kind of figuring all these things out. You know, who's going to play where? Who can we trust? One of the things that I think is interesting, and we kind of touched on this, and again, there's a lot of truisms in life, right? And sometimes our remembrance of things maybe doesn't match the reality. We kind of romance it a little bit. And I think, you know, part of this is people kind of figured out even though Boot was doing some good things, I think people kind of figured out he was going to be the feature back, and they game planned against him a lot more last year down the stretch. But again, it's around game four when he kind of got things going, you know. And some of that, I think, is also a byproduct of the fact that, you know, the offensive line play, it took a little while to get those guys going, and that may be the case this year too. It may take a couple games, which is a benefit for us to have all these non-conference games, even though Arizona State is such an important game in our season and on our schedule. There's really no question about that. You win that game, you feel awfully good about what's next. But, you know, Davin Booth last year, 12 games, 759 yards running the football. Johnny Daniels ran for 540. But when you begin to kind of consider what Fluff will do, you know, does Fluff take carries away from both of those guys? Where do the carries come from? You didn't go out and sign Fluff Botwell just for him to be the number three guy. That's an aspect of this that I think it will be an interesting as Tuck and Levy kind of figure that out. Obviously, Devon Booth is a guy that has proven that he can do it. But now you can probably save a little wear and tear on him and maybe make him a little more explosive down the stretch. You know, we talked about, you know, game-by-game stuff. You know, that game against Ole Miss, and some of that had to do with Ole Miss, give them credit. But, you know, Ole Miss last year, pretty good job balling up the running game. We ran the football 419 times last year. Yeah, 419, and Booth had 152 of those carries. Johnny Daniels had 108, which is probably a lot more than most people expected. But what's interesting about those numbers is Daniels and Booth both averaged 5 yards a carry. Right? He did. And at times I think Booth probably a little more elusive. Daniels probably a little more hard-edged guy. And Fluff is not a guy that's necessarily going to run away from people in the open field, but he is a guy that can be a bit of a punisher. And so I suspect what you're going to see is this Bulldog offensive line and the depth in this running back room will probably keep Booth and Daniels and Bothwell fresher as the year goes along. We talked about the defensive front. Trevion Williams, not necessarily one of the great orators of our time by any stretch of the imagination, but he is a guy that we need to be ultra productive this year. He is a guy we need him to make the jump this year and be the player that we expected him to be. We need him to be a war daddy. We absolutely do. And he's going to basically play like a five tech, kind of like the old Jaden Crumity position. He's working with Dancy, but he's not going to necessarily be out on the edge. Going to be, I guess at times, you know, they can flare him out there as a seven, but more times than not, I think we'll put some other people on the field to kind of go chase the quarterback. But there's a lot more depth, and that's one of the things that we've talked about with him is the depth. And he says, hey, I love the depth. Having depth give guys more opportunities to recover, catch your breath, and get fresh legs. Also asked about the change in coaching philosophy. You're bringing Vincent Dancy in. And William says it's a change from Coach Turner. They both have two different coaching styles, but the intensity has still been the same. Listen, the reality of it is we did not get good defensive line play last year. A lot of that was personnel. And I think also, too, Jeff Lebby had to say, you know what, I got to shake things up a little bit. You know, I got to bring in Vincent Dancy. And that makes things a little bit easier on Coach Turner. We had to move some things around. Of course, we have less off-the-field recruiters on staff, you know, and some changes were made to accommodate Dancy. And, of course, he's a former head coach, so he knows how to run the show a little bit. And a lot of that, too, it's interesting after being the head coach and then kind of becoming a lieutenant again, it takes a bit of an adjustment. But he had that time at Colorado, and he's back home in Mississippi, a native of Macon, Mississippi, played at Noxubee County. So he knows the area, and I suspect Dancy's probably going to be with you for a while, at least long as Jeff Lebby's here. Vincent Dancy, obviously, a guy that knows Mississippi well, and Mississippi knows him. But Trevion Williams, I suspect this position change may prove to be a good thing for him. We should be stronger in the middle. I think playing him as a five-tech, especially against a run, makes us a little bit more formidable. But again, you can go read his interviews for free. I wanted to give you some context too. We'll run Nick Mitchell in the morning in case you missed Nick. We did have Nick Mitchell today too. And I'll be honest with you, Nick Mitchell surprised me last year. He did. I thought he would prove to be a career special teams guy. And you know what? Maybe he played some last year out of necessity. But let's give him some credit, too, for kind of turning things up. Because I think that he really performed well at times. And probably exceeded some expectations. And now he's back, and there's more depth in the room. Got a lot of snaps last year. Probably won't play as many snaps this year because I think we have more depth at linebacker. And it'll be interesting to see what Tyler Lockhart does, too. Tyler Lockhart's one of those guys that we expect to make some contributions as a freshman. How much kind of remains to be seen. And kind of lost in this, we kind of touched on it at the end of the spring portal. You remember the narrative, right? You remember the lies that some Ole Miss people told themselves. Well, you know, he'll just go in the portal after the spring. He'll enroll at Mississippi State and transfer to Ole Miss because that's where he really wants to be. Well, the spring portal came and went. Tyler Lockhart did not enter. And I haven't seen many Ole Miss people bring that back up. You know, it's just interesting. You know, people will tell themselves anything to make themselves feel better. But we need Tyler Lockhart to have a big year this year. And you don't need him to go out there and beast on Blanton, you know, or even Jed Johnson or, you know, Buki and those guys. You don't need that in year one. But you do want him to kind of get his feet wet and be prepared to kind of take a starting position next year. But we need him to kind of pick these things up. He is an explosive backer and a guy, obviously, that is an SEC player in every aspect. And I can tell you, as a guy that's been to see him play multiple times, he is as active as they come. And he has really good instincts and can get to the football. And that'll serve you well, that aspect of it. You know, the offenses are a lot more complicated in college. There's a lot more eye candy to things. People want to get you flowing one way and then send the ball the other. And so there's going to be a maturation on the mental side that has to take place. But as far as this being a raw athlete, that's exactly what Tyler Lockhart is. And so it'll be interesting to see how things play out. But again, very grateful for Mississippi State Administration making all of these interviews possible this week. And it's been kind of fun, too, to kind of transition into a lot more football-type talk on the show and on the message boards. And we got to get excited. This is football month, right? We play football at the end of this month. It is the first of the month, so cash your checks and come on. But we're going to have a good time this month getting ready. We won't have any availability tomorrow. We'll get our schedule for next week on Sunday and probably settle into a routine. Probably get Levy early in the week, kind of recapping the weekend, and then we'll get players later in the week, both offense and defense. And it's a much better way to do things now than we used to do them. We used to spend hours up there waiting for players. It's not like that anymore. It's a much more efficient operation. I want to commend Brandon Langlois for all the advancements that he's made on the communication side to make things a little more expedient for all of us, including the players. And so they've got other responsibilities too. And I don't think many of them, you know, get extremely excited about meeting with the media. It's probably not on their list of favorite things to do. But they are the faces of our program and the voices of our program, so that's part of the responsibility. But as we get through camp, you'll probably have some repeats, probably hear from Blake two or three times in camp, probably hear from Isaac Smith. Number one, he's so incredibly well-spoken, but he is the leader of the defense. And we look forward to having those conversations with him. And we'll try not to repeat questions and things of that nature. But the reality of it is, football's here. It's kind of snuck up on us a little bit. But again, we have flooded the market with football content this week. And I think that's a big part of things, too, as we kind of begin to transition kind of away from baseball. You know, even though fall ball will be here sooner rather than later, too, we can kind of carry both torches. But the reality of it is time to turn most of our focus towards football as a fan base. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle by far, especially if you're bringing a large group to town. You don't have to. You can just rent the whole place out for yourself. It's completely up to you. You know, we're not going to tell you what you got to do, but plenty of parking out there. We don't want you to throw a rager, but not many neighbors out there. It's a lot of peace and quiet. That's really the point there. We've stayed there. We had a blast. It was so nice to have everybody under one roof. Very, very, very good time. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. If you're trying to make it a ball game weekend, baseball, football, basketball, whatever, or even midweek. I mean, it's open 365. Just check availability. You can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You get a chance to look through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. Yeah, how cool would that be, right? You get the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. Incredible, man. It's the old renovated clubhouse, the old country club out past the Highlands, just off 182. As I mentioned, plenty of parking, too. How many times do you rent a place and you want to have a lot of people come over, maybe do your tailgating right there, and there's just not enough room for people to park? No problem there. Now, when you Google, you're going to have some booking options pop up. You got Airbnb, VRBO, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. BSR10. Just by listening to this show, you're saving money. Get the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I like to kind of sometimes take a look at what other people are saying about our program, our football program. Pete Fwytak is a guy that's run the college football news for years. They used to be an affiliate with Scout. Pete does his homework. And so I thought I would just kind of hit a few things that Pete touched on just to kind of get an outsider's perspective. And the first thing that Pete mentions is pass rush. Yeah, I mean, that's not breaking any news, obviously, you know. But as he mentions, you know, we had 6 games last year. We didn't get a sack. Yeah, that's not going to work. You got to be able to impact the quarterback. And again, we've done our best to kind of address that. He identifies Dwight Lewis as the key player. Obviously, taking a step up from NAIA, there is going to be growing pains with all of that, for sure. But as Pete says, even if he's not a starter, he needs to be a top backup. And I think that's a real possibility. Looking at transfer portal, obviously, like everybody else, he labels Fluff Botwell. You know, very, very powerful guy. And then mentions, you know, Luke Krobenhock is a guy that's got some real talent, too. But says that Botwell adds a different dimension to things. And I agree with that, too. In some respects, he kind of reminds me of a bigger version of Josh Robinson. You know, a guy that really runs well behind his pads and can kind of wear out a defense. Average 7.5 yards a carry, as we mentioned earlier. Booth and Daniels, 5 yards a carry. Granted, the sledding in the SEC, a lot different. But Fluff was probably an SEC guy playing in that conference last year. Top transfer out, no surprise, Bryce Pollock, obviously. Mentions kind of Kevin Coleman, too, and Mario Craver. But when you consider how bad we were defensively, Bryce Pollock, a big loss. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I think at times his play was probably even impacted in a negative way because of the lack of pass rush. But when the ball was thrown his direction, and it was a lot, he did make some plays. Kevin Coleman, obviously the biggest loss on offense. But, yeah, we'll kind of move forward with that. I mean, again, I think Pete sees a lot of this the way we do. Mentions the most important game or the key game is that Arizona State game. I've been preaching that for months. You know, that's going to kind of be the litmus test for this team. Interestingly enough, here are the 10 players, according to Pete, Bulldogs' top 10 players. Isaac Smith, number one, no shock. Blake Shapen, number two. Davin Booth, three. Brandon Jennings, four. Fluff Botwell, five. Sadu Traore, six. Jalen Smith, the transfer linebacker from Tennessee, seven. He appears to really like Red Hibbler, even though he didn't play much last year as an edge player. And then Luke Krobenhock and then Nick Mitchell at 10. One of the things that he points out, too, is we got outscored in the first half last year by over 100 points. Getting a quick start is so important because how many times last year we end up chasing the game and our opponents held the football about 9 minutes more per game because they were able to get separation and just kind of run the football. But passing yards is about the same. Only 3 yards difference. Our opponents outthrew us 2,874 to 2,871. Well, part of that's because you don't have to throw the football a lot when you got separation. especially in the second half, you're just trying to get the game over. And that's what happened to us a lot last year. I think teams this year will be forced to be a little more balanced offensively with us because I think we're going to be better against the run. And Pete says Mississippi State will be better. A lot more depth. Sid Levy knows how to crank the offense. Win total will be better. And here's his schedule analysis. He says Bulldogs will beat Southern Miss, Alcorn State, Northern Illinois. And they're good enough to get an SEC win somewhere. But where? Talks about getting Arizona State early in the year. That's important. But he says the easiest SEC games are Arkansas and Florida, but they're both on the road. I think one could factor in maybe getting Tennessee early at home might be significant too. But yeah, he's got us winning 4.5 games, which is basically 5. And so here's how he grades out the schedule. Likely wins, those three we mentioned, Alcorn, Northern Illinois, Southern Miss. 50-50 games, Arizona State, Arkansas, Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and it expects us to lose to Georgia, Missouri, Texas, and at A&M. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I think Pete has probably nailed our collective sentiment and expectations about the season. There's not a lot of sure wins on the schedule. You know, and again, that Southern Miss game, I expect to win that thing, but I don't think it's going to be a matter of us going down there and just running all over them. You know, I think it's going to be a competitive game for a while, and then I think eventually the difference in the strength and conditioning programs and the quality of athletes will show up. We just got to avoid turnovers early in that ball game. We got to get a chance to get a little separation and let the run game take over because I haven't done the math yet because we hadn't seen the Southern Miss depth chart. But to a man, we should be much bigger on the offensive line than they are on the defensive line. And with that stable of running backs, we should be able to run the football with some success. And then that's how you win games in the second half a lot of times, right? But there's a lot of toss-up games on this schedule, a lot of them. And again, there's so many of our fans like, you know, I just don't know where you see 6. Again, I think you beat Arizona State, you feel very positive about making a bowl game. But we will likely not be favored in an SEC game at any point this year based on the current situation. As we get into it, right, as you begin to get a better look at Tennessee and Florida, we're not going to be favored in the swamp. In the event that Tennessee kind of stumbles out of the gate and maybe we get off to a strong start, maybe there's a scenario there where State may be a slight favorite over Tennessee at home, maybe. The Arkansas situation, very unsettled too. By the time we get there, there's no telling what kind of shape they'll be in, if Sam Pittman's coaching for his job or anything like that. You know, we may end up being a road favorite there. I'm not expecting that today, but there's a possibility. But by and large, based on where things sit right now, State won't be favored in an SEC game. So basically, anything's going to be kind of considered an upset. But there are some vulnerable teams. And a lot of it, I think, is because of the hot seat of those coaches and the fact that they've not been able to retain a lot of talent. And then that quarterback situation at Tennessee is just so interesting. You know, you got Aguilar coming in, Nico going out, and then, of course, the loss of Kelvin Sampson. They did lose some players on the offensive line. Again, I'm glad we're getting them early. And I'm interested to see what Arizona State looks like without Cam Scadabo because he kind of became that eraser, right? When you needed a big play, he was able to get you one. And there were some people early on that said, oh, that guy's not very good. Ends up getting votes for the Heisman. But kind of a coming out party against us. And so that's going to be the interesting thing, getting them here in what should be a pretty raucous environment. First home game of the year, first game with the LED lights. We expect it to be an electric atmosphere. Of course, we expect to be 1-0 going into that game. They will be as well. And so should be a great environment for football, and so we should have every opportunity to have a lot of advantage in that game. If you begin to kind of look at this thing talent-wise, it's not quite an SEC team, but they're going to be Power Four players up and down that roster. So it's a good early test for us, but I feel a whole lot better about playing this game here. I felt pretty good about that game last year. Until it started, you know, after that Eastern Kentucky game, we're like, well, you know, that was pretty easy, and well, it was. But Arizona State Kenny Dillingham has said earlier this week, you know, they've had some issues with the passion. He said, you know, our effort was good, but, you know, I think Dillingham is a guy that doesn't mince words very often. I think he's a guy that kind of gets after it a little bit. And I do like the fact that he provides a lot of updates throughout game week. So we'll be tracking that, obviously, as Mississippi State and Arizona State get to each other. But I think when you begin to look at Pete Fwytek, who is probably more objective than, say, you or I would be, but also, too, more objective than the SEC media. That's one of those things you look at, too. And kind of jumping around here, too, at some other Pete's comments. So, you know, he talked about how bad the defense was. That's not, again, breaking any news. But, again, kind of illustrates the Blake Shapen injury and how much that became a bit of an issue for us. I think that's a huge part of it. You know, people forget that Shapen had thrown 8 touchdowns and just 1 pick last year before he got hurt. Ball security was a much bigger issue with him on the positive side than it was with Van Buren. You'd expect that, right, with a veteran guy as opposed to a true freshman. And so we go out, don't turn the football over, we're going to be a lot happier. And just like you look at that Arizona State game, how did it get away from us, right? You know, we go out there and we have a fumble that, you know, Shapen trying to do a little bit too much. And so that wasn't a pick, but that's a scenario where he's got to make a better play. And let's just punt the football. Speaking of receivers, he kind of mentioned the transfers, you know, Anthony Evans, Marcus Allen, and his comment here, none of those guys have been stars, but in this offense, the catches will come. And that's kind of along the lines of what Bumpus said the other day is, yes, Kevin Coleman left. The player left, the numbers didn't. With that position, that gives guys like Brennan Thompson, like Anthony Evans, a chance to go make plays. And so we'll know how to scheme some things up. We just got to protect the quarterback and give Blake a chance to operate. Talked about the offensive line, and a guy that we don't probably talk about enough, Jacoby Jackson, also made the Good Works team. Didn't mention him earlier, too. Again, that's another piece that's back. And again, you begin to think about the construction of the two deep in the offensive line. You know, you mentioned Luke Work, who got a lot of snaps last year. You mentioned Albert Reese, who won the whole trophy last year. Cannon Boone is back after recovering from an injury. Jacoby Jackson in the mix there. And so you've got the opportunity to return, if you want to, 4 starters on the offensive line, and then you go out and add some more bulk to it. So, again, I am not worried at all about putting together a serviceable offensive line group. I don't think there's any question about that. Phil Lodeholt will do that. He has the players to show real improvement there. And, again, competition makes everybody better, you know, simple as that. But, you know, Trevor Mayberry is a guy, too, that kind of gets lost in the discussion. He was a guy that's got a lot of snaps under his belt at Stanford. A guy that can make some things happen, too. And he was able to come in and take part in spring practice. That was something they were able to kind of work out. So that aspect of it, I think there is some room for optimism. And I think because of the physicality of this league, you've got to have depth so you can absorb injuries. There's always going to be guys that get banged up, especially to play in the O-line, D-line. And so I think that is one of those things that from an objective point of view, like if you didn't have an emotional attachment, you say, hey, well, Mississippi State is going to return 4 players that had SEC snaps under their belt last year on the offensive line. And then you add a power 4 player like Trevor Mayberry. You feel like, hey, that's a pretty good spot. Oh, then you look and see what they did in the portal in the spring. And you go out and you get guys like Reese. And you feel like, you know what, this is an offensive line that is primed to take the next step. And everything on offense is kind of predicated on that. We've done the work at receiver. We've done the work at running back. And we return a very veteran starter, even though he's had some injury problems. But if we can be better on the offensive line and maybe live up to expectations, I think a lot of things are going to get better. Not just on the defensive side of the football. And you look at the Egg Bowl. I mean, the defense just kind of wore down, right? I mean, that's just how things worked just because of the fact that we couldn't sustain drives. Give Ole Miss some credit, but some of that too, Michael Van Buren was already 1 foot out the door in that ball game. There were 3 situations where we had guys running wide open for big gains, if not touchdowns, and Mike never saw them. And if he did, he didn't pull the trigger. It was some of that in film review that we were able to go back and see. Is like, this just doesn't make any sense, you know. But again, there's going to be some up and down with freshmen. I don't want to just put all this on the shoulders of Michael Van Buren. But the reality of it is there were times last year Mike had to go make plays on his own because of the fact that we struggled at times to protect the quarterback. We should be better at that this year. We should be better at rushing a quarterback. But it's, you know, again, we don't play games on paper. We got to go out there, make some things happen. We got to go make things happen. And we got to put points on the scoreboard because, you know, I mean, you look at some of those games when the defense played well, the offense didn't hold up their end of the deal. And again, the only wins you had last year were UMass and Eastern Kentucky, and you don't need to spend any money in the portal to win those games. I mean, just kind of call it for what it is. I mean, last year was a huge disappointment, but it did not just rest on the defense. It rested some on the offensive line and certainly some on quarterback play because we were forced to play a younger quarterback. And one of the things that I would like to point out, too, before we get out of here, remember the wrinkle we had against Texas early on with Parson? You know, we put him in there and kind of moved some things around, kind of caught them by surprise because we'd never run that before. We never went back to it. That's one of those things that I kind of wondered a little bit about, too. You know, the game, it was a one-score game at the break. You know, why not have Parson involved a little bit? Let him throw the football, maybe. You know, let him go in there. They think he's a running quarterback. You know, of course, we can hindsight Monday morning quarterback that stuff to death. But, you know, we've got to make opportunities for ourselves. And then when we get them, we got to take advantage of them. Hey, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and, of course, The Dude. And I will be representing The Dude at the Mississippi Book Festival this year. Again, very honored to be a part of that. Also, the memoir, When the Bottom Falls, also available through that same website. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601 to get more information. You can book online or you can call Dennis. She'll put you on the schedule. In the event that you're planning to float football game weekends, let me go ahead and prime the pump a little bit. It gets exceptionally busy. So if you want to float while you're here, you need to plan ahead. It is very rare that we can just accommodate a walk-in floater. We need to have your appointment made. We don't really stagger it. The floats tend to all start at the same time. And there is a schedule, and we generally have 20-plus people float. We only have four pods. And so in the event that you're going to float, be thinking about that ahead of time. And if you do make an appointment, we do expect you to keep it. We ask that you keep it because typically what happens is the schedule fills up, and there are other people that want to come float. And if you don't show up for your appointment, you know, we're just out that opportunity. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. Right now you can get 50% off the annual subscription price. Super cool time to do it. And, of course, that'll carry you all the way into next year's fall camp. Yeah, so come check us out. You'll be glad you did. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.